Good evening and welcome to episode 15 of the Vegan Hour. It's Tuesday, August the 6th, and tonight I have Dana Williams from Pachiyama, Gold Coast. Thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
You've had a busy day and you managed to get here, and so I'm impressed. Let's just remind everyone that the Vegan Hour is presented by Vegan Frothers, where you can get your cruelty-free clothing and you'll be supporting animal sanctuaries at the same time, with 100% profits going to animal sanctuaries. And we're also supported by Sindian Natural Food Products, which are available Australia-wide through supermarkets, and they are totally natural and totally yummy, so you want to get onto them. Now, we'll just have a quick look at what's happening with events coming up this week. There's three events I want to mention. Tomorrow night, as always, my wonderful friends at BKA Vegan Restaurant in Burleigh. Have you ever been to BKA?
No.
That's fair enough. They have their $12 bowls night, so you get bowls of food for $12, and it is top level, fully vegan. You need to book because it gets very, very busy on the Wednesday nights
right.
there. So they've got that from they've got that from 5 p.m. Tomorrow night. Sunday in Brisbane is the Brisbane Vegan Markets from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at West End. Mm-hmm. As I highly recommend them as well. And finally on Monday is Adam Guthrie from I Feel Good magazine is presenting a plant-based talk and cooking class, and that is also at BKA Vegan Restaurant in Burleigh from 6 p.m. These are popular, and this one, I think there's only three spaces left in this one. So if you want to go along in that one, this will be the third one is held there, and all the others have sold out. So get in quick if you want to go along to that one. If you missed the beginning, I have Dana Williams from Pachiyama, and tonight we're talking about health and health because you're right into health and you've had a very healthy journey.
Yeah.
And so let's find out. I know a little bit about you, but let's start off tonight's episode with you telling us who you are and why you're into health and how that all came about. So let's go way back in time. Tell us a bit about yourself, Dana.
All right, well, thanks for having me, Harry. It's a pleasure to be here. I do love sharing my story and talking about this way of life, because I feel that it's really, really important to educate and empower people about this, because I feel that's not something that's spoken about a lot.
Yeah.
So I grew up in New Zealand.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it's amazing in New Zealand.
Yes.
And so I grew up, you know, mum and dad grew all of their own food, and so whenever we, you know, want to get our dinner, we'd go out into the garden and pick it up the garden
that
and those
good.
Sorts of things. But, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And so we ate really well as kids, and my journey sort of started when I was 9 years old and I lost my granddad, and so it wasn't right in that moment that I realised. You know, the impact that it had on me, but that is definitely where my journey started, in the desire to learn how we can live forever. So I now know that we can't live forever because we're simply a soul in this human existence. But what I've found out over, you know, my last 24 years of learning about this and investing my time and educating myself on health and well-being is that we can certainly prolong our health while we're here by the way that we choose to live our life on a daily basis. And so that's literally what I've invested my life in learning more about and practicing and experimenting and putting into action for myself personally, so that I can then share with other people.
That's fantastic. That's what we need more of. We need more people like yourself that have experienced it on a practical level, and you, because it's so ingrained with you, because from an early age, your parents were sort of conditioning you to a healthy way of life as far as getting things from the garden. However, they hadn't made the full connection that that they shouldn't be eating animal products, right?
Exactly.
So what was that for you as far as you making that connection at an early age with animal products? What was your experience there?
Well, it was just like when we were 9 years old, we moved out to the farm, which wasn't a big farm or anything. It was just 12 acres of land.
Mm.
But Mum and Dad used to go to the dairy farm and get the baby cows when they were born. They used to go and get baby pigs. They used to get baby sheep, chickens, all the rest, and then they'd bring them home. And what they'd do is they'd get us to teach them how to, you know, drink their milk, drink out of their bottle, feed them. We'd always name them. I don't know what they were thinking.
In other words, you were bonding.
Exactly.
You were caring for these animals. No different to you would be caring for like a household pet sort of thing,
exactly.
Like a dog or a cat. So you were caring. You'd name them. You know, you felt a beautiful connection with them. You learnt their personalities and all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And that's why at that point of my life, when I was 9 years old, when I actually realised what happened and that, you know, we'd often walk through the paddock for whatever reason to go over to the bush or go eeling or go hunting or whatever. Not hunting. We'd never killed anything, but
right.
We just looked for things, look for animals, look
right.
for things.
Right.
I used to catch eels in nets, bring them home, look after them for a few weeks and then take them back to the bush because
right.
I wanted a pet, you know. But yeah, and then what would happen is we'd have this connection. The cows would come running over when we were walking through the paddock, the sheep, the,
yes.
you know, like they knew us.
Yes.
They knew we were safe. They knew we were going to feed them or look after them or pat them or,
yes.
or give them love.
Yes.
And then what Mum and Dad would do without me knowing is they would organise the butcher to come to the house and kill them. And I actually remember, I don't know how old I was, maybe 12 or 13, and I heard the gunshot.
Oh.
And I, you know, knew that the butcher was at our house killing one of our animals or one of my animals because I was raising them.
Yeah.
And I just went crazy
yeah.
and yelled and screamed
yeah.
and just like lost
wow.
the plot because
yeah.
I just couldn't understand
yeah.
how he could just come and do this to my,
wow.
my animal. And so that's when I realized and I made the connection that it wasn't, I didn't feel it was okay or normal or anything to be killing another living species.
Wow.
And so that's when I stopped eating meat because I stopped eating my pets.
I can totally relate to your reaction to that. You know, you just know it's so wrong, you know, and it just hits you so hard and it's like, this can't be, you know, this is not right. We can't be doing this, you know.
Totally.
And for that to happen at that young age, can really ingrain in us a really strong need to make sure that things are done right from that point onwards in this case in relation to the way we're treating animals.
So, yeah, and you know, like I often look back on that and think that it was kind, you know, that if there's a way to eat meat that would be the best way. But the thing is that it doesn't. It's an industry that's created to make us believe that we need to be killing another species for food, and it's perfectly not true.
Yeah,
it's not true.
I mean, it's completely wrong. It's immoral. It's unethical. It's everything. But I do, as shocking as the event was for you to experience that, you made the connection very strongly, and
yep.
this then just set a foundation of like, okay, this is where you moved forward in life from that point. So on that day when it really sort of hit you, was that the day of massive change as far as I'm not eating animals anymore, or was it a gradual thing from then on?
Once I realized that happened, I stopped eating animals.
Yeah.
And then I went on to study personal training when I was 20, and you know, even though you're not allowed to have anything to do with the
nutrition
or anything
right.
like
yes.
that. They're
yes.
very much into
yeah.
promoting macronutrients.
Yeah.
So eating carbohydrates, eating protein, eating fats, which is great. We need
yeah.
those things.
Yeah.
But the places in which they were telling us to get these things from were,
yeah.
you know, from
animal
eating
based.
Your meat, from eating
yeah.
your pasta and
yes.
rice and all of these.
Yeah.
And so here I was, it was me
yeah.
studying and
yeah.
learning. And so
yeah.
here I was thinking, oh, shit, okay, well, maybe that's what you need to have protein, you know,
oh,
like
wow.
all of this.
Yeah.
And it didn't take me long to realize that that didn't work, you know,
yeah.
that wasn't
yeah.
in alignment with me and that I'd made my choices early on that was how I was choosing to live, and I've just never looked back. It doesn't resonate.
So going back to when you were a kid and you decided to rebel against the family's decision to be killing your pets.
Yeah.
How did they respond to it?
Well, they were fine.
Oh,
they were a lot of us. And, okay. Yeah, like yeah. Mum. Yeah, they knew. Mum and Dad knew that. What? Yeah. Yeah. Right from the start, they didn't. There was never any pressure for us. So they were just like, fine.
Would it be fair to say what it sounds like you're saying is that your mum and Dad knew in a way that it was the wrong thing to do by you and them, and that they therefore didn't throw up a resistance to your.
Well, they were, you know, great. They let us do what we want, you know. And so when we said, you know, I think it was on my other sister stopped eating meat as well at that time, just because she started to feel this connection with the animals and then they'd be gone and she was confused because she was a lot younger.
Right.
But,
but
that was it.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. As I said earlier, it's good that you were able to make the connection and it's shocking. It's shocking that it happened in such a shocking way.
Yeah.
But it sort of, in a way, it that's what really made it so strong for you.
Well, and I also just think, like, a lot of people these days, they don't know. You know, they don't know where their meat comes from.
Yes.
Because, like, I remember before we moved out to the farm, like, Mum and Dad would bring home, like, or my uncles would use our house, and they would bring home, like, a deer or something. And they would hang it up in the shed, and I'd go out, but it would have no skin, and it would be a bit of meat, you know. So I never really made that connection with the moving animal to the dead thing, because I didn't know, until you'd actually
spent time with the living animals.
Well, we had animals growing up, so I knew what they were like.
Yeah.
But I didn't sort of, in the moment, I didn't realize that hanging piece of meat was actually a living. Well, I didn't, but it was weird.
And just on that point, I was watching a Joey Carbstrong video today where he was interviewing children and he was asking them, you know, something along the lines of, did they realize that the way that chicken and fish and all that's presented and packaged and all that is it doesn't look like the animal, it's presented in and it was interesting, he was asking kids that, and that was so fast forwarding to when you were doing your personal training and all that this was, so basically you were encountering a very indoctrinated
you just taught that this is what your body needs, and sort of you're not showing any other way. So,
that's
the programming.
Has it improved in recent times?
I know of.
Really?
Well, no, not that I know
of. Wow. Luckily, there are actually quite a number of vegan athletes, high-performing vegan athletes in different fields. Around the world that we get to hear about fairly regularly now that have achieved greatly. And on the Vegan Hour in the last few years, I've had a number of vegan bodybuilders. Mr. Natural Universe, Billy Simmons, is vegan from Prana On. And Chrissy Carvello, who's won a number of different competitions. And there's a few others that are, you know, really gained. Some of these people are amazingly fit
and healthy, and so they
should be. It's a reversal of the most people think. Well, in mainstream media, you know, there's this thing of like, oh, how can I build muscle and how can I be fit on a plant-based diet? And I read that and I think, how can you be fit and healthy on a non-plant-based diet?
Well, that's what I think too.
The conditioning is so strong that people think of it backwards, don't they?
It's so true.
So did you, when you were in, you did, was it, you were a personal trainer for 13 years?
Yeah, so I still do that.
Oh, you still do it?
Yeah.
So you still meet this resistance, or you just don't go into that area so much?
I let people do their own thing. I just share how they can improve, you know, add more fresh food to their diet, because ultimately that's what our bodies require.
Yes. Well, I actually, one of the things that I was reading that you understand really well, and I want you to expand on this, is that if we choose whole foods, if we choose fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, herbs, spices, and whole plant-based foods every day, we basically don't need to worry about anything because the body heals and protects itself as it should do. Now, I'm a strong believer in that. You know, in my journey, I've seen what being raw vegan at a really young age did for my health, and I've seen now nowadays what the opposite of that has done because there's so many vegan processed foods, damn it, and how challenging it is to stay on top of things when you're eating that all the time.
Totally.
So what are your experiences with that personally, you know, with you don't usually get sick or anything like that. You usually stay really healthy and that, and you're very strict on staying on whole foods, plant-based whole foods.
Well, it's just how I feel my best. And like when
what about if you have a craving for vegan pizza?
I just make it.
Oh, of course. And actually, your vegan pizza is amazing.
Oh, great.
It is amazing because some people may have seen the photos I posted when I had your food.
Yes.
And the first thing I had was the pizza and oh my goodness. And Matt says, g'day, Mr. Harry and Dana. G'day, Matt. Thank you for watching and thank you for your support. But yeah, your pizza was just wow. Just,
thank you.
I was cooking in the oven. The aroma was coming out. I was like, oh, I can't wait. It was, yeah. And it was so good that I couldn't eat it all in one go.
Oh.
And that's the proof of good whole foods because they're filling, they've got the fiber and that, you know, you eat them slower as opposed to a processed vegan food where you eat the whole thing and then you go, what do I want now? Because it hasn't got
the nutrients.
Hasn't got the nutrients, that's right. It hasn't got the nutrients, hasn't got the fiber, hasn't done what it's meant to do. The body's not getting the right signals, is it?
That's
so
right.
It's like, okay, body's saying, yeah, I've taken this in, but I need more. So now, you have run, I want to find out about you've run workshops, seminars. I want you to talk about what you've done in that area and what you actually, you know, when you're doing these seminars, what you actually present in these seminars. So.
Great, yeah, so during this journey,
Sally says, I second that. Dana's pizza is incredible.
Yeah,
true.
Sally's living with me at the moment, learning to cook it. Well, we're doing some food stuff together, so she's getting to experience it all.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so for me, it was more so the journey that led me to where I am. And so when I was, you know, started wanting to learn how we could live forever, I started realizing that what we needed to do was support our bodies to be well. And that it wasn't only one thing. So originally I used to get books out from the library when I was about 12, 13 years old on food and and look up the nutritional benefits of plants. So fruits and vegetables and all the in their individual form, nuts, seeds, what nutrients, what vitamins, what enzymes, what everything came in the foods. And so when I was doing that, I started realizing that these whole plant-based foods, because that stage I was well gone off the meats and what have you because of my pets and animals, it didn't resonate. So I thought, well, if we need to be having all these certain things, where can we get them? And so that's when I started just getting books out. I had a diary and I used to just get books out from the library. It would be, you know, basil or mint or, you know, all your herbs. And I would just copy out in my book the benefits and what they were good for and what they did for the body.
That's good.
And so in doing that, I started to realize that we were able to get everything that we needed from these whole plant-based foods.
Mm.
And that when food is, and it's the food that comes in a packet and has the numbers and the colors and the additives and the synthetic man-made all the rest, that was actually the problem because the adverse effects that those things had on our microbiome and our gut, on our cellular health and those sorts of things is what was actually causing the problem. So I just, from such a young age, I just become really passionate about how we could be making food out of whole ingredients.
Mm.
And that's literally what I've done ever since.
That's fantastic. Why are the packaged vegan foods so damn addictive?
Well, they've designed all foods in a packet to be addictive because they've added the sugar, the right balance of sugars and fats and salt and, you know, flavors and stuff, because that's what we're drawn to and attached to, you know. And with this man-made food, it's actually designed for us to become addicted so that we continue to eat like that. They design it because they want us to keep buying it, right? Because if it didn't taste good, then we wouldn't eat it.
That's right. They've got, if you're a smart food business, you've got to design it so that your customers keep coming back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's when I, you know, I have just been investing my life learning about these things, and then I started to realize that we couldn't just focus on our food and expect to be well. We had to, it was really important that we moved our bodies as well for our lean, you know, muscle mass, for our bone density, for our cardiovascular health, for our lungs, for our lymphatic system, for our natural detoxification process of the body. So I started to realize that we needed exercise as well. And then I went into looking at, you know, once I started learning about what was in foods and in products and stuff, I started reading the back of everything. And I got an app. I don't know if you've used the app or you've heard of the app, but it's called The Chemical Maze. And you can literally type in this app anything. So you can look on the back of a packet of chips or a packet of shampoo and conditioner or anything like that, and it will tell you what these ingredients are. So where they come from, whether they're safe, how they're used, if they're natural, if they're synthetic, the side effects or the damage they cause to the body and the organs and the systems and all of the above. So that's what I started doing. And then once I realized what toxins and things did to our body, I realized that it was something that I had to share because people just were completely unaware. We've been conditioned to believe everything that we're told. So if we, you know, if we listen to the radio or we watch TV or we, you know, socialize with people that are very influenced by others' opinions or the societal beliefs, then it's very easy to get caught up in what everybody else thinks.
Yeah.
And so I guess I've been challenged quite a lot of my life because I don't think like that. I think the complete opposite.
I can definitely relate to that. The thinking as an individual and going against what mainstream is doing.
Yeah, it's not like I'm trying to go against it, but it just seems like common sense. Like I just can't, I can't fathom how people could possibly believe some of the information that they're told.
It's interesting, isn't it? Why, I mean, why is that? Is that just because people, I think you described it a little earlier, you know, they just follow what other people are doing, they're easily influenced, that sort of thing, you know, they just don't think deeper.
No, it's not. I think it's more so the fact that we're very trusting as a society, which is amazing because we need to be, you know, like we're all one, we're all the part of the same thing, we're all here on the same journey, we're all here for a good time, we're all here for a long time. But what happens is that a lot of the information comes from unreliable sources. You know, like the government or the, you know, whoever's in charge of this information, they only show us what they want to know, us to know, and they only educate us down one way. I mean, there's many a topics that I could talk about that's very much like that, but we don't even need to go into it. But it's just very much like, you know, this is what you're meant to do, and everyone else jumps on that bandwagon and they follow that. And if you say, oh, have you thought about this, or have you questioned this side of things, or how does this fit with you, the automatically the walls go up, the close down the doors, they don't really communicate.
Would it be fair to say that, you know, a certain direction is presented because there's usually a money trail behind it?
I don't like saying that, you know, it's the truth.
Yeah, it's with vested interest. It's business presented through government or whatever channels, you know, that allows certain businesses to operate and be successful.
It's not good, you know.
No, it's definitely not good, but it's intelligent and wise to question things And I can definitely relate to a lot of your upbringing there, because I was brought up with a similar way of looking at life, basically, with my father basically saying, you know, always question everything that's happening around you. You know, don't take things for granted. Look for the deeper meanings, you know, the deeper reasons and that. And I think when you've got that entrenched from a young age, and you had that curiosity and that need to know, you know, it allows you to sort of step outside that just the common view of society and sort of go, no, it's, you know, why are you doing this? Why are, you know, why are you all going to the pub on Friday night or whatever and mindlessly putting poisons into your body? Why? There's no sense to this, you know.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, so, you know, when you sort of, and the more you start to question in that there's an empowerment. Did you find there's an empowerment for it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
so you feel empowered. You feel like, okay, I've got information here that maybe not everyone else has got. I can act more responsibly with it, and which you have done.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that empowerment, you've then, it's almost like there's a responsibility to give it back, isn't it? To share it.
Yeah, to share.
Which is what you've done with seminars and you've done cooking workshops?
I've ran workshops teaching people how to cook, so just add more plants and whole foods into their life, and also on fermenting foods, how to make all your own cleaning products and alternatives to otherwise highly toxic ingredients. I've taught people how to use natural remedies to support their bodies and to support their health,
mm-hmm.
And to heal their bodies naturally. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, I just believe that if our bodies are showing any signs of discomfort or disease, it's purely because they're out of balance.
Yes.
You know? And if we're the ones that have made us sick in the first place, then we're the only ones that can heal us.
Good point.
And something that I found, you know, that I noticed as throughout this journey is as I was starting to read up on the chemical maze and the books that I had and doing all of this research for myself, I started realizing that, you know, like things that have got synthetic fillers or chemical-based ingredients or man-made fillers or anything like that in, that they've all got adverse effects on our health. And once I started reading about what the side effects of that was, what they did to our bodies, and all of the above, I started thinking, well, why would we even want to consume this or use this on our bodies or use this in our home or put this on our skin or even have this, you know? So I just went out and found an alternative to everything and made it myself.
So there's an interesting thought I had there. I can understand why we might eat something with synthetic ingredients because it tastes good.
Right. Totally.
But what about when it comes to cleaning products or personal care products or something like that, that are also have a lot of synthetic ingredients that aren't good for our body or for our home? Why would we continue to use them? Would that just be ignorance that we're not aware
of? I've since come to understand that it's purely because people just are they don't know. Yeah,
so it is ignorance. They're just unaware.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no, like, unless you look this information up for yourself, there's no billboard saying, you know, what are the ingredients in your food? What are the ingredients in your cleaning products? Did you know that this ingredient has these side effects and this and affects your health in this way? There's nothing like that. You know, it's like, buy this new laundry powder so that your clothes smell fresh, like the breeze, the sea breeze.
And talking about which, I overheard a conversation the other day where somebody said they walked past somebody's clothesline or something, and the aroma from the laundry detergent, the washing powder, whatever, on the clothes was so strong. And I thought, wow, so you can smell it while it's hanging on the clothesline. What's it doing when it's touching your skin for the hours a day or days at a time or whatever, you know? So it's obviously having an effect because the skin is the largest organ. It's going in there. I just want to change direction and go back to what you were saying about moving the body and exercising in that. With your experience and your research in that, what do you recommend as far as exercise and moving your body in that? You know, what is best, or what works best, do you think?
I think finding something that works best for you and that you enjoy is the best way to move your body, because otherwise you're not going to do it. So what
yeah, that's
I think,
a good point. Yes. Yeah,
so what
yes.
I support yeah. people in understanding is that it really doesn't matter how we move our body. Even if you could commit to, or depending on your goals, but if you could commit to say a 30 to 45 minute walk every day, that is enough to get the muscle, to move the muscles, to get the lymphatic system flowing, to support the health of our everything, right?
Yes.
But it's easy and everybody can walk. You know, if you're wanting to build lean muscle mass, or if you're wanting to train for a certain event, then that's why we've got these people out there that do, you know, specialize in this so that they can support you. But I think in general, 90% of the population simply need to move their body and they're not doing it. And they're not doing it purely because they don't know how. And so, like, what I do is with my clients and people that I've worked with, so I work as a personal trainer, but it's just a general sort of overall functional based training that I do. So I just support people's to stay well in their life and to have healthy joints and muscle, lean muscle mass and things that, but it's not really, I don't specialize in training any for certain things.
Right, yes.
But what I do with my clients is I get them to write down a list of things that they enjoy. It might be swimming, it might be playing golf, it might be playing tennis, it might be volleyball, it might be going for a walk on the beach, it might be swimming at the beach, it might be stair running. It may be resistance training or heavy weights or weightlifting, and it doesn't matter, because whatever your body you want to do is probably what's best for you. And so that's what I do. And so 90% of the time is the hardest part is making a plan and sticking to it. So what I support people in doing is working out their favorite things, you know, might be 4, 5, 10 different things, and then plan how many times a week are you going to choose to commit to actually moving your body. You know, it might be 3 days a week you might be able to do 15 minutes, or it might be 5 days a week you can do half an hour. And so then we can start to determine what you're actually going to commit to, so we can set a really solid foundation in place. And then it's like, okay, you know, you're going to do 3 days a week. What do you want to do in those days? Okay, today I want to go running, the next day I want to go to the gym, and then on that day I've got swimming training. And that's it. That's how easy it is. And then you just have it in your schedule, nothing changes, and then you've got that consistency.
I love it. I pictured in my mind as you were, you know, describing that you find what the person can relate to, what sort of exercise works for them. I was picturing that you find the exercise that puts a smile on their face.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
That they find a pleasure in doing. You know, so rather than pushing themselves through something that is the opposite of what they want to do. So, I mean, it makes perfect sense. Again, like a lot of the things we've been talking about tonight, it's like common sense when you look at it the right way.
Yeah.
You know, but most people don't. You know, but that's why, you know, people like yourself are educating others so that they can also become aware of the things that you became aware of at a younger age. And as with all of us, our awareness continues to grow.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
Yeah, sure.
So I wanted to, was there more you wanted to talk about in that area, or were?
Well, maybe just in saying that is that, like, I find that most people exercise as punishment because they're not happy with themselves. So they decide, like, oh God, you know, I've put on weight, you know, I need to lose weight. I'm getting married, or I've got a friend's 50th, or, you know, all of a sudden there's some event that they want to look a certain way for. But the trouble is when you, you know, like going into that situation, you're already unhappy with yourself. You're already changing for a negative reason. You're already wanting to unhappy with yourself. So you're starting off with all these restrictions and stuff. And what actually happens is that our body holds on to stuff. You know, if we're forcing and pushing and hating on ourselves and not loving and not being kind and not doing things that we love and enjoy, then what actually happens is our body just stores everything, holds on, it locks up, because energetically that's what we're creating.
This is interesting.
So what I you know, say is, like, if you want whatever your results that you want to achieve, you can do that, But we always have to come from a place of love and respect and choice and understanding and doing it, because this is simply what we want to do. So we're now choosing to exercise and move our bodies because it makes us feel better and all of these health benefits. And our ultimate goal is not to be 5 kilos lighter for the wedding, but our ultimate goal is to create a lifestyle so that we're always going to feel our best from now until the rest of our life. Because we're constantly searching for the next best thing, but we're never consistent with anything.
That's the human condition, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's so true. Like, you know, most of my clients, and you know, whether it's clients in personal training, clients or, you know, they're sick and they require some support, whether it's whatever, the biggest thing that I find is that you get to a point where they're just so unhappy, they make all these ruthless changes, which is so unsustainable.
Yes.
And I never...
So it's like setting yourself up to fail.
Exactly.
It's like, I left it too late, the train is almost hitting me.
And then it's like, you know.
Now I'm going to run really fast and try and get away from it. And I've got to do something radical. And it's, but I love what you've said, that, you know, if you're coming from a point of love and a point of better self-acceptance in the first place, you're more likely to have positive results.
Absolutely.
Well, that's fantastic.
It always happens.
And you know, as you were saying that, I pictured the things that I love to do.
Yes.
And the things that I love to do in an exercise sense are things that I love to do them so much that I just can hardly wait for the next morning, you know, to do them, you know, to get on the bicycle and ride, because I just love it, you know. I love being out in the early morning. I can hardly wait to, if I have a spare evening, to go for an evening walk and, you know, 45 minutes or so, and you know, get the body moving and look at the stars as I'm walking. And many people that watch my page see that I'm always posting about my walks and my bike ride, but I love it, and it puts a smile on my face and I feel good about myself. And I come back and there's a sense of achievement, there's a feeling of love, there's a feeling of self-worth, there's like, this is what you love to do, and and you've done it, so I feel good, you know.
Totally.
Whereas if you said to me, go for a jog or a run, I'd be like, I did that a few years ago and it was horrible.
And I hated it,
Exactly. So those things, it's a great philosophy, and I think it's something that we really need to keep in mind to work with the things that work for us.
Yeah, and that we enjoy and that we choose, rather than that we have to do. Because we're all, if we have to do anything, it's never going to be sustainable.
And I can apply that, I think, also to veganism and to the changes that people, you know, if you're pre-vegan and you're looking at becoming vegan, and if it's you know, basically somebody's pointing the finger at you and saying, you have to make this change, you have to do this.
Yeah.
It's coming from that wrong
energy,
angle, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That wrong energy.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then, you know, it's so, like, you never want to be, I don't believe sustainable change or anything of good can come when we're forcing and pressuring and having to be this and having to do that. And
it'll just be temporary. It'll be, there'll be the resistance against it.
And then you make up excuses.
Resistance and resentment, those two things against it. So ultimately, that's obviously going to fail at some point.
Yeah.
You know, although there are people I've known that somehow managed to live their lives for years in a state of resistance and resentment, usually against their partners or something like that. And you go, really? That sounds like you're having a fun life. You know? So, but again, it's, you know, the human condition is that we're often... My observation is that we're often afraid to actually look at the things that we're unhappy about in our life. You know, the things that we're afraid of, or we're usually, I'll say unhappy about. So we're often, rather than look at them, rather than face them, we will skirt around the edges of them. We will come up with anything else we can do. It's like somebody doing a school assignment. You know, it's like, okay, I know I've got to have the school assignment done by tomorrow. Oh yeah, look, I'll go and watch some Netflix first. Or I'll go, it's like you do everything else except
what
you have to do. Now, you know you've got to face it.
Yeah.
You know you've got to do this assignment. You know you've got to face the things in yourself you're not happy with, but we're just the human condition is one of like, no, we hate pain.
Yes.
It's just like, no, I don't want to go there. I'll go and have a vegan pizza instead because I'll feel good about myself. But what happens if we do that is that it's still there.
Mm.
So we're not at peace in ourselves and it'll still keep coming up.
For sure.
And the universe keeps reminding us constantly.
Exactly.
And if we keep burying it, we are just destroying our health more and more on all levels, you know,
sure.
psychologically, emotionally, physically, spiritually, on all levels.
Yes.
So really, the hardest, most courageous thing any of us can do, and I speak from personal experience and from observing others, is to actually go within and really say, okay, I'm ready to look at some things I wasn't ready to look at, you know.
Sure.
And I admire anyone that's got the courage to do that, because that is where your real growth comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whether it's facing the fact that your health is, I mean, because this is the vegan hour, I'm going to keep it on a vegan perspective. Mm. Whether it's facing the fact that your health is not the best because you're consuming animal products, and you know that.
Yes.
You know that. You've been seeing it coming up on mainstream media. Your friends have been talking about it. You've heard about the documentaries.
You're experiencing inflammation. You're experiencing gut issues. You're not feeling. Your digestive health's not good.
You know, so you know there's something not right there, and you know there comes a point where push comes to shove, and the time is right to face it.
Well, and I think if you don't face it, you're going to be forced to face it in some way.
That's how it works.
A health condition. A relationship breakup.
That's right.
You
ask people in that situation after it's happened, and they will admit that they knew.
Everybody, I know.
And this is the thing. When somebody meets resistance in a situation like that, it's like, no. You knew inside. You just weren't ready to or courageous enough to face that fear or that pain or whatever. Mm. You know. So it's amazing that we actually do have this information if we want to, you know, embrace it. So talking about embracing wonderful things, Pachayama.
Yes.
Did I pronounce it correctly? Yes. I always have to have trouble getting it right. For those that may not be aware, it was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago now,
yeah,
I think.
Three weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay. Dana approached me and said, I've got some amazing food. I'd really love you to see what you think of it. I'd really love you to try some and see what you think of it. And as soon as she said food, and it was like, bring it on. So all I can say is yes. Yes, is you brought around food that I just went, wow, this looks amazing. And every meal was so good that two things happened. I loved it, and my PA, when she was there, when I wasn't at home and my PA was there, she would take half a meal before I'd even had a chance to eat it. And she's very particular about her food. She's very much like yourself. She's very particular. She's been raw vegan for, she's not strictly raw vegan now. She's strictly vegan, but she's not strictly raw vegan. Yeah. But she, in the times, in the years that she's been raw vegan, it's so strict, it's amazing, you know. And so she won't eat out and things like that, you know. She's very particular if she does eat out. And the fact that she was taking the meals before I could get to them and eating half them, I go to have a meal, I'm like, I'm sure this was, when Dana brought it around, this was a bigger meal than this, you know. That was proof of how good it was, you know.
Right.
So I want to find out a bit about Pachayama. So tell us how this came about and what your goals are there and your food and so forth. So,
great. Yeah. So I, food has been a part of my journey my whole life. And I actually, I used to work in cafes like when I was a lot younger. And my sister moved over from New Zealand 5 years ago, and she was also a vegan. And my three sisters are. And then
that's great.
Yeah, and then my mum, dad, and my other brother, sometimes eat meat, but they've cut back so much over the last few years, and they love coming and staying and just eating vegan.
If it's your food, I can understand why.
So whenever they come and spend time with me here in Australia, or we, you know, spend time together, we only eat vegan the whole time that they're here. We don't really eat out a lot because I love making food. So we, and Mum and Dad just say that, you know, after spending a week together, they just feel amazing. So it's always a good experiment.
That's fantastic. It's actually surprising that they don't carry that on when they go back home.
Oh, they do. I mean, they've changed a lot over the years. And now it's very rarely that they do eat meat, you know. And I think it's more so just, I think that they think it's normal, you know. They think that
conditioning. It's that conditioning. And of course, for older generations, that's a very entrenched thing that's hard to change. But obviously, they've made great strides in that area.
They've made huge changes. That was 5 years ago, and my sister and I decided to open a raw organic vegan caravan, mobile caravan, that we could just take anywhere. And the reasoning for that was purely because I'd spent my life researching about the nutritional composition of food and what it did for our bodies. So I really wanted to provide this healing nourishment to other people.
Great.
And I felt that, you know, like 5 years ago, raw organic vegan food wasn't even as big as it is now.
It was
sort of like there wasn't many cafes around. In fact, I think there was only a few. So the whole concept of it was to provide food to people that actually nourished their bodies and improved the cellular health of their body with every bite. Because
you might have been a little bit ahead of your time then, you think, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit, but it was well worth the experience. Yeah. And, you know, I learned so much doing that. One thing I did learn was that, you know, raw organic vegan food at that time wasn't as popular, and so therefore some people would even come up and, you know, would sell like hamburgers with you know, veggie patties and all sorts of different things, and people would even come up and we'd be like, oh, you know, and they're like, oh, it looks a bit different, and we're like, yeah, it's raw, and then they'd be like, oh, nah, you know, I don't eat raw food. And I was just like, try it, you'll love it, you know? So I've just always had this passion of wanting to support other people to eat better, because I just know how to cook food free from numbers, colors, additives, anything out of a packet, anything that's not natural, anything that doesn't improve the cellular health of the body, anything that doesn't reduce inflammation and support the blood, you know, that's the concept behind the food here at Pachayama. So what we now do 5 years on is I have started this business where we provide food to families. So you can actually order off a menu. We do main meals, salads, lunches, breakfast, all sorts of different things, and you can just order what you want off the menu and pick it up or have it delivered twice a week. And so it's really for people that potentially have been recently diagnosed with a health condition where they realize that they need to take some control of their health. So most of our clientele, I guess, would be quite aware what real food does for the body. So we get the clientele that, you know, are supporting their bodies to heal naturally, who are really busy, are passionate about eating well, but just don't have the time to prepare the sort of food that we do, that maybe aren't yet as knowledgeable on how to create things from scratch that are gluten-free, sugar-free, dairy-free, free from any form of processed ingredients whatsoever. And some people still are learning what can be created using ingredients like that. That's where it all came about.
So now you're based here on the Gold Coast in Burleigh.
Yeah.
So you have, what areas do you deliver to?
At the moment, within a 15-kilometre radius.
Okay, so yep. it's a good service for the locals.
Yep, service for the locals. They can pick up.
Now, was it also, you can get it from Brisbane, was it?
Yeah, so I deliver to Brisbane twice a week.
Okay.
So, yeah, so okay. Brisbane on Tuesdays and Friday mornings.
Now, if people want to see your menu and want to organise to get a delivery, in the title of tonight's live stream is the link to Pachayama's page, and I will say again, your food is incredible. It is absolutely delicious. It is what I love is it combines the two things that food should be: delicious but good for you at the same time. You know, I mean, I eat a lot of vegan food that's delicious, but you know, it might be way too more processed than it should be. So if you can combine good healthy food with delicious, then you're on a winner there. So, and I think also, I think you definitely need to try this food and support Pachayama and tell me and give me feedback. Get some of Dana's food and you'll find out how good it is.
Thank you.
So, and you change the rotate the menu around?
Yeah, we're doing it every 3 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
So every 3 weeks we have a new menu. And you can order one meal or you can order three or four. It's entirely up to you.
And what's the feedback been like so far with your customers and clients? And it's been like me. They've been like, oh my God, has it been
Yeah, we've had lots of great feedback. Everyone seems to be really, really happy. We've had some of the great feedback that I've been receiving is, you know, one of our clients was diagnosed with diabetes and had to start having insulin. Yes, so he actually came and started getting our meals so that he was eating better. And he's been now able to go off his insulin altogether.
Fantastic.
And he no longer needs it.
So yep. I love hearing about that, because there's so many I'll call them lifestyle diseases, maybe, you know.
That
people in the past, when I say and not that long ago, lived with, because that's all they knew from the information they were given from when they went to their doctor. You know, it was like, it's you know, this is what you've got, and so you're going to have you know these tablets or whatever, you know. And it's, you know, it's like it's. What a terrible way to live the rest of your life, knowing that, you know, you're stuck with this because you didn't know better, you know. So I think it's fantastic when we hear about this awareness happening now, where people go, you know, what was previously considered irreversible conditions, health conditions, have now been proven to be quite treatable, and there are many plant-based doctors and health professionals around the world that have had success with hundreds, thousands of their patients, you know.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, the difference in somebody that's had looked ahead down their life going forward and thought, wow, my life's going to be, you know, like this, and it didn't look too pleasant because of what the diagnosis they've been given, to go from that to, you know, I'm like free of this condition now, and you know, wouldn't that be such a relief, such a just. Wow, fantastic.
Yeah, and one of our other clients was that I cooked for, she wasn't able to get pregnant. She'd been trying for two years, tried IVF, wasn't able to conceive. And then after eating this way, the food that I prepared for her, which was all plant-based, she actually naturally got pregnant when her and her partner were told that they couldn't conceive, that there was no way possible that they were able to get pregnant.
Wow.
They actually naturally got pregnant.
Wow, and I love it.
The baby is, you know, now 28 weeks in the belly.
Wow.
So, another client had toenail fungus for pretty much his whole life, and after eating our food for 3 weeks, his toenails were actually starting to grow back healthy.
Wow, see, this all fits in with what you were saying earlier about when you feed the body correctly, it looks after itself and repairs itself. And
exactly,
and
well, you know, we're designed with an immune system so that we've got that ability, you know, so that it supports us.
Yeah.
You know, we've all got cancer cells, we've all got abnormal cells, and every day if we're choosing to live a life that's not conducive to health, we're going to keep getting worse.
Yes.
So our immune system is essential, because it actually protects us from these abnormal cells, and it sends in, you know, to fight and to help us, right? In the easiest terms. So we don't need to worry about our what's going on inside if we're looking after ourselves well, because we'll strengthen our immunity and it can do the job it's designed to do.
Yeah.
But we're not, you know, people aren't taught about that. You know, people are taught like, you know, we have to have a vaccination every year for the flu shot, you know, yes. Which is, again, if we looked into that, what that does to our immunity is 10 times worse than actually our natural immune system.
Our natural immunity, yes. And you know, how many times, just talking about that, have you heard people say, I had a flu shot and then I got sick, you know, the next couple of days after that.
Oh, well,
you know,
yeah, I mean,
I've heard it so many times.
Well, that's what they tell you that's going to happen, because any time you put toxicity into the bloodstream,
our body is going to
make us sick to get it out.
Yeah.
So it's actually our body's natural fighting mechanism to get the toxicity out of the system that's just been put into our system. But this isn't the thing. Like, the doctors tell us we're going to get sick if we have it, just to simply protect themselves.
Yes.
So people are just like, oh, well, it's just normal. When in actual fact, it's not normal at all. And if we looked into what it was doing to our bodies and why we were doing it in the first place, it would be a complete different story. Not to mention the fact that it destroys the microbiome in the gut, which is responsible for our immunity and everything else. So it's... yeah, I believe it's really, really important that we do empower ourselves and we do our best to question things and to look things up and to find people or to find groups or to find communities of people that are already living this way.
Yes.
So that they can share and empower you with your own beliefs. Because I know that, for example, you know, I know everybody's beliefs are different and not everyone's going to live their life the same way. But people's life is currently being lived by everyone else's opinions that have been pushed onto them in the first place, and they haven't ever been encouraged or empowered to actually take responsibility for their own health and their own life. So that's where the issue lies, you
it's
know?
True, isn't it? Yeah, you use the word normal, you know, as in what people think is normal is, you know, and that, no, in general, people don't question what they, you know, what they think is normal. They just, it's like, okay, everybody's wearing their hat backwards, I'll wear my hat backwards.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's wearing baggy trousers, I'll wear baggy trousers.
Yeah.
It's like that whole herd mentality of people is something that my entire adult life I've looked at and gone, can you not think for yourself? I mean, really, where is your ability to question and seek and look at the inner wisdom, you know? And you, I'm sure you can relate to that, because you're from a young age. That's what you've been doing. You've been questioning things, and you've been researching, and you've been finding a better, healthier way to live life.
Which is great, which is working absolutely fantastically.
Is there hope? Is there hope? I mean, we're starting to run out of time. Is there hope looking forward for humanity? How do you see our future?
I think that people are really starting to wake up because everyone's getting sick, you know, and it's just like people are starting to wake up to the fact that this can't be my life. You know, I can't be having to take this drug for the rest of my life. I can't be sick for the rest of my life. Like, how is this possible? And so what's actually happening is, you know, they're getting this, you've got to have this for the rest of your life. You've got to take this drug. You've got to do this. You've been diagnosed with this disease.
Yeah.
You're going to die in 6 months. People are getting this extreme news that, one, is definitely heartbreaking, but, you know, who's got the right to tell you that and then prescribe you a drug that's going to continue to make things worse? So I just think, like, I know so many people that are waking up and they're realizing that this isn't the right way. And I mean, just in my, with what I do and supporting people about natural ways to heal their body from whatever they've got going on, like, you know, I'm always getting more people coming and talking to me.
Fantastic.
You know, asking questions and you know, like, that have been following my journey and are starting to question this now, because eventually our innate wisdom tells us the truth.
That's true. But whilst that's true, often it can come too late.
And but that's the other thing is that I believe if it comes too late,
yes,
it's because they're choosing to not accept it.
Yes.
They're choosing not to listen to the signs and the wisdom.
Exactly. Which is why people on their deathbed often have a regret because they didn't listen to the signs.
Exactly.
But, and this goes back to what we were saying earlier. They were aware of it. We're aware of it. And it's like, it's only when you're at the final end of your existence in this body that you sort of go, oh, damn it. It's too late then to be living a great life, you know. So.
Yeah, but I also, you know, I also think people are waking up before that as well now.
Yeah, there's definitely been, in the last few, every year there seems to be a bigger awareness, bigger shift, and I'm going to start winding up now.
Yeah.
But I also want to just add in there too that in that awakening, which has seen a lot of, I touched on this a little bit earlier, seeing a lot of vegan products and all that come onto the market, but we have to be aware that, you know, that can be a problem in itself as far as how processed they are.
Well, yeah, and especially like it's fine if you're eating it and minimally, you know, and if your balance of your main meals is made up of, you know, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, nutrients, antioxidants, all the stuff that our bodies require, then, you know, it's not going to hurt if you have a vegan snack here and there. But what's actually happening is people are choosing to be vegan and then they're only eating everything out of the packet. They're actually forgetting about the real food.
So listen, kiddies.
Don't
do what Uncle Harry's been doing the last few years, because I used to be as strict as Dana was when I was 16. I was started off raw vegan for the first few years. I was skinny as a rake. I was as strict as you can get, and now I'm the opposite. So don't do what Uncle Harry's been doing. Look after your health a bit better. Otherwise, you have to exercise so much, it's ridiculous just to try and keep on top of things. I have absolutely loved having you tell us about your journey and all the information you've shared tonight. Thank you so much. If you want to try Dana's amazing food from Pachayama, you can just click on the link in the title, and that'll take you to a page. And as I said earlier, I highly recommend it. Thank you everyone that's been watching. This episode, as with all episodes of The Vegan Hour, will be on YouTube hopefully within 24 hours. And I'm going to start winding up now by just having a quick look at who we've gotten in 2 weeks' time for episode 16. Oh, yes, this is going to be an interesting one. Dr. Alison Semel is going to be on in 2 weeks' time, and we're going to be talking about the consciousness of water, amongst other things.
Yeah.
She's a very intelligent woman who's done a lot of research on this, also vegan, of course. And she's written a lot about this, presented a lot about this. So this will be really interesting because I believe in it very strongly, the consciousness of water and all the research that's been done on it. So join us in 2 weeks' time for that on Tuesday, August the 20th. Until then, thanks again for watching. Remember to live vegan and save lives. And I'll see you then. Look at that. You did it. And we didn't practice. Thanks, everyone. And have a great night. Good night.
Thanks.
Good night.